Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That's right. That's where it's happening, a.k.a. the Chateau. I was just on the phone with Jack Hamm during the break, and he says, are you in the Chateau? I said, indeed I am. He says, how's Sarah Bartlett? I said, doing great. He said, now how's that other guy? And it's just not been a good Kevin day. It just hasn't been.
No, it has not been at all.
Roethlisberger, good. But he's like, he says, you know, Jack said to me, he says, how's Barty? I said, Barty's good. He says, how's the, what's his name? How's the other guy? Oh, boy. It's not good, you know. Right now, you know, he's either in this back office or he's in his car. And he's going, oh, come on.
Yes, that was that's a pretty good impression. I know. The day after his quarterback goes down and we're still relentless, you know.
Right. Well, you have to be. Look, you have to understand the dynamics of this show. Okay, the dynamics of the show are as follows. If Kevin is down, you, Drew, Sean, me, Buter, okay, even Lawrence, all feel like we're taking a swing.
I think that's in the bylaws.
He sent me a text. He's in the car and he misspelled the word hate. All right. Shouldn't be texting and driving. All right. Kevin Wilson. Let's talk about Indiana for a moment. How quickly do you think Indiana gets a playoff? How about 20.8 seconds per play? Even though they have the ball only 26.5 minutes on the average a game, they average 76 plays a game. 20.8 seconds, boom, they're snapping and they're going. So they play with some pace. And Cam Kaufman, their junior college quarterback, who has stepped in and done the job in place of the injured Trey Roberson, who's out for the year with a broken ankle. He broke it at the goal line at Gillette against UMass trying to score a touchdown. Kaufman stepped in, played really well. Steven Houston's have a big year in the backfield. Corey Latimer, Shane Wynn, Kofi Hughes, all having good years. Teddy Bosler at tight end. Good years. They're averaging 31 points a game. All right, 24 sacks. Larry Black, Adam Replogle having good years up front. But overall, they're getting gashed on defense with the running game. 244 yards a game. And that, needless to say, that played perfectly into what Wisconsin does in their 62-14 win. So earlier today on the Big Ten conference call, head coach Kevin Wilson of Indiana on his football team and the Nittany Lions.
2-4 in conference, 4-6 overall, and play at Penn State on Saturday. A noon contest to be televised by the Big Ten Network. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You start with an opening statement, then we'll take a few questions.
A big challenge of Penn State for sure did not play well against Wisconsin, who had a tremendous game, played great against us. So as we keep building, really interested and excited to see if we can come back and play with the greater effort as we play a great opponent on the road going to State College this week.
Thanks, Coach. Let's go to questions.
If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad.
Coach, Adam Replogle matched the school record with his 45th career start last week. What he's meant to this senior class and the team?
He's really done a tremendous job. Don't have a lot of seniors. I think we only have five total, but he's will be a two-time captain. He's been a finalist for the ARA Sportsmanship Award two times. I think he's All-Academic District three times. I think he leads the Big Ten in sacks for D tackles, interior linemen, et cetera. I mean, he's a quality player, and he's great off the field, and we'll need to play well these last 2 weeks. And as we build our program, he's one of the guys that's he's helped set a standard of how we want to improve and what we need to do. So a lot of respect for him. He'll break the record, I guess, this week with the start at State College.
Your next question comes from the line of Adam Rittenberg with ESPN.com.
Kevin, I know high percentage passes are a big part of the offense, and you guys have had pretty good accuracy all year. Anything on Saturday that it just seemed like Cam was overthrowing a lot of passes? Anything that you can put your finger on as to why that was?
I felt maybe in general early, maybe we're just a little too much in a hurry, a little too excitable, and just our feet were just a little erratic, just getting settled. And at the same time, as we call plays, you got to get your guy in rhythm. And I've been fortunate enough to, I've been with a few guys throwing that, that some of the best guys we've had when he was out of sorts, he was very, very average or very, very poor. And when he got in rhythm, he was very, very good. I think Cam's no different than those guys. And we just got to do a good job each week of doing some things, to whether it be Cam, whether it be Nate, whether it be Trey Roberson, as we move forward. You got to get those guys in rhythm, and we just didn't do a good job, and that's a little bit of our fault. We got to keep looking schematically because I still don't think, Adam, we throw those percentage passes as cleanly as we need to. So we got to keep working, and I think it's as much the way we do things more than Cam. He'll need to learn from that, grow from that, but I think we got to do a better job of helping him out as coaches, and the players around him got to help him out a little bit too.
Right. I know defensively it was a tough day, but I know I was pretty impressed with David Cooper and what he did. What stood out to you about him this year as a guy coming in from the junior college?
Well, we needed him. We've got Jakari Alexander on the sidelines who's been injured, but Tim Bennett's came in, done a good job, Antonio Marshall. We needed some help, and the more those guys have played, even though they're older as juniors or sophomores, they're older. They're not old in your system. So learning how to play the Big Ten game, learning how to practice, learning the language, the adjustments, and playing as fast as you need to play. David is doing well, but he needs to do better. And I know Coach Eckler will do a great job, continue to coach and push him and bring him along. So he's done well, and I'm glad he's here. But we do have him for two more as a junior college player, and we need him to keep pushing to get better. So and we need those surrounding parts. We need to play a lot better than we played the second half of Saturday against Wisconsin.
Thanks.
Thank you, Adam.
Your next question comes from the line of Milan Jordan with 97.1 The Fan.
Kevin, Matt McGloin obviously having a pretty solid year for Penn State, but who else on their offense stands out to you?
Well, their tight ends, I guess they got one of the guys injured this week, but they, Coach O'Brien's always with the pro background. It's going to have a good mix in what they do, keep you off balance, run, play action screens, move the pockets, intermediate, deep throws, you name it, and do it, and calling game in good rhythm to help Matt. One receiver, I think, is close to the school record and one of the leaders in the Big Ten for young players. Very, very exciting. It's had a huge season for them. Both their tight ends, one's injured, but Jesse James has been very well. I think the two running backs that come in and have ran hard for them gives them the balance they want. That being said, for all that to work, it's the offensive line. Because you don't throw the ball the way Matt's throwing it, and you don't complete those balls, and you don't have a run game without good front play. So they've got some veterans back, a big, strong line. And I know Bill would say they're a work in progress, getting better, but they've got some nice pieces. When they put it together, they're a very challenging offense, very difficult to play against.
And then, new coach this year, but it seems the same old story with their defense. Still very good defense. Particularly with Marty and Hodges sticking out there. And just talk about some of the challenges that the Nittany Lions their defense presents to you guys.
Well, they, Ted Roof, background, defensive coach his whole life, a lot of success. But they did keep Ron Vanderlyn and Larry Johnson, who both have coached there for a number of years. So their defensive coaching staff, continuity is there, a lot of returning players, very stout up front, a couple big-time quality NFL-type players inside. And then the passion that Hodges and especially Mike Motti play with are outstanding. I enjoy, we've seen those guys in some crossover games. Now we're game planning with those guys, against those guys. Very, very challenging. And then you have to put on top of that, you're going to go play at their place where now communication, being able to, with snap counts, silent counts, communicating your plays, you put it all together, it's going to be a big challenge. And we didn't play well last week, and we didn't play well defensively, but we need to play better offensively. And going against this opponent with quality players, well-coached, and on the road is going to be a great challenge for us.
Thanks, Coach.
You're welcome.
Your next question comes from the line of Joe Giuliano with the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Hi, Kevin. Penn State has had a pretty bad year, as you know, as far as off-the-field stuff, and they have their last two games at home. How much more daunting does that make this task on Saturday, knowing that they're wrapping up a career at home with no postseason to look to, and how would that affect your team, do you think?
Well, to us, we're going to play Penn State every year because of the division, and every other year we're going to be there. And the beauty of the Big Ten, you're going to play in some great arenas. And, we've had some guys that this year by schedule, some of those opponents have been with us, but last year a lot of these guys played there or played in those arenas. So I'm excited. Second year here as the head coach. Last year they were here. I had 3 years at Northwestern, my first time to State College. The great fans, passionate fans, and I'm excited about it. If we're going to build a quality product here for Indiana, we've got to learn to win, and we've got to learn to win on the road. We've got to learn to win in challenging arenas. So love their passion, love their fans, something we're trying to build here in time as we move forward. And I'm just looking forward to going over and playing as best we can. It will be a challenge. At the same time, I think it's a great opportunity. I'm excited to go out there and see what it's about.
And I know you talked about the past.
Lost you?
I think we lost him. Let's move on to the next question.
Your next question comes from the line of Tom Morhun with Wisconsin State Journal.
Kevin, if you don't mind looking back on Saturday's game with Wisconsin, what are the challenges that offense presents in terms of the shifts, the trades, and the motions and all that stuff that they do?
Very good in the speed of it. They shift them and move in a legal way, but they don't go there and take forever getting set. Then the fly motion guys, and it's who they're doing it with. The guys are running the reverses with, the speed sweeps, whether it be the two other, to complement the tailbacks. They do like all three tailbacks or their quality receivers. So they put some stress on you, complement it with great play action pass. They did not do a lot of that Saturday, but there's always the threat of that. So you cannot just pin your ears back. So you put it all together, quality line. No one talks about their tight ends. Their tight ends are always outstanding in the blocking game. And then you hand the ball off to a couple of the best players in college football. It's a difficult challenge.
They've done that, the shifts and motions, a lot over the years. Did they do more of that? There was some plays where there was four guys shifting. Was there more than normal?
I don't know. They had shown each week they're always going to wrinkle maybe a slight deal or something to take advantage of something they see that you do to gain leverage or just to be new and different to try to get you out of your gaps. So there's always a little wrinkle. They had done some of that, so it wasn't like we were not prepared. There's always a little twist to it that you've got to make a slight tweak to, which we try to make those adjustments. But the real deal, I think they did a great job in their open date of setting a mindset and a tone to come out and play very physical, and they did a great job. And we settled down, played a pretty good second quarter. I think we held them to about 9 yards in the second quarter. They had a decent first quarter. They get up 17. In the second quarter, we hold them to 9 yards till James popped that long run on 3rd and 16. And from there, it snowballed. We didn't have a great second half. But that's a credit to Wisconsin because they totally played a very, very solid, good football game offensively.
Thank you.
Coach, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
That is Kevin Wilson, the head football coach at Indiana, in his teleconference earlier today to get you a feel and a read for what Indiana has, and it's a team that is averaging over 31 points a game, but they give up 32 a game, and you can gash them with the running game, 244 yards a game, but they don't turn the ball over. They've only turned it over 10 times all year, and they don't force turnovers. They've only forced 10 turnovers this year. But teams have been able to move the ball against Indiana successfully all year. They're giving up 445 yards, a game, 244 rushing, 201 passing. Now, Indiana does throw the ball effectively, and Stephen Houston's a good running back. So they play fast. They don't make a lot of mistakes. They also drive the ball a long way. They've only taken over the ball on the plus side of the field 8 times all year. And the team last year, I think they had, 20, 21 70-yard drives last year, already has 29 this year through 10 games. They averaged 3 70-yard drives a game.
Do everything with initials around here. OTM. It's bad when Lawrence kicks her when he's down. Because he's the nicest guy on the staff.
It's true.
I know. I received a text from Kevin. And it said, this is just a sad commentary. High school done. College done after Saturday. Steelers are all I have left. No Ben, done.
All he has left.
Yeah. Did you hear, though, the threat he was going to bring his son down with him to the Bucknell game?
Oh, I heard it. I think it's a reality.
It's a threat. I mean, it's bad for you. You're going to have to watch him. All right, our number is 1-800. I mean, I can't. I'm working. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Would you like to jump in? All right. You're going to hate what I'm about to say. Okay?
Okay. Thanks for preparing me. I'm ready.
Okay. But at this stage, I know it's really early, but if you gave me a choice between Andrew Luck and Joe Flacco, I hate to tell you, I picked Luck. And I praised your guy all year.
I know that. I'd like to explain your reasoning.
I watch him play, and he does not have the talent around him that Flacco has. He just doesn't. But you watch him play with his pocket awareness, his footwork, how he keeps his head up, always looking and scanning to make a play, and then some of the plays he makes. And he also has far better mobility than most people realize. I thought going into the year that RG3, that I thought Luck would be the better player overall, but that the Redskins with RG3 would have a better record. I just thought he had better personnel around him, better players, and thus would have a better chance of succeeding, even though the division is very hard. And but I now have watched this guy play, and I'll be honest with you, he plays at a level like he's been in the league for 5 years. And one of the problems that you're going to have with an RG3, for example, is that he exposes himself. As clever as he is, and he is incredibly clever, but he exposes himself to potential injury by the way he runs. He's already had one minor concussion this year. But I look at what Luck does, and I find what he does amazing. For a young quarterback. Now, this league has been very fortunate. They have a lot of really good young quarterbacks in this league. Tannehill's very good at Miami. Christian Ponder's not that bad at Minnesota. I mean, they have some young quarterbacks in this league. Hey, Locker, I'm still waiting to get a real feel for him. And obviously, Blake Gabbert with Jacksonville. I mean, there's a lot of talk of Tebow going down there. So, but Andrew Luck plays 5 years beyond his age. You have to remember, too, and I know you don't like this, but early in his career, look, Andrew Luck doesn't have Ray Rice. Ray Rice makes a lot of people better. He's a really good receiver, tough on a linebacker, and gives you a ground game. He doesn't have that in Indianapolis yet. He's 6-3. It's remarkable what he's done.
Housing lender.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Final half hour of the show. We hear from Kevin Wilson, the head coach at Indiana, Mike Tomlin, the Steelers coach. Their press conferences today. Our number 1-800-795-9565. I'd like to talk about Roethlisberger, about Michael Vick, about the state of the Eagles, state of the Steelers, state of Penn State football. 6-4 right now is the Nittany Lion Ledger going into Indiana and Wisconsin. And so we'll see how it plays out. But your questions, comments, Kyle Carter's not going to make it. Wrist hurt in the Nebraska game. I remember I looked down at the sideline at one point. They were doing a timeout, and I saw them wrapping it in ice. I thought, uh-oh, that's not good. So Kyle Carter's not going to make it. So that's a loss, without question. He turned in a fabulous redshirt freshman season. But again, the you listen to the mindset of coaches and how they handle things. And that NFL mentality, next man up, no excuses. And believe me, around here there could be plenty of excuses. There really could be. And so that's where I like the mentality, though. And I mean, and I think you have to have that no matter what you do. Bill O'Brien's a pro's pro, just like Patrick Chambers, you know, but they're also emotional. They are not, I mean, that's one thing you'll see about both Chambers and about O'Brien, okay? There's nothing robotic about them. Bill may have that attitude of, okay, Next guy up. I'm done dealing with Nebraska. I got to deal with Indiana. But also, you see during the course of a game what I see during the course of the week. The emotions are deeply there. And I see that with Patrick Chambers. Patrick Chambers will be positive, this, that, you know, and very positive. The same time, the emotions are there. And that's what draws players in. It's what draws them to their personality and so forth. Now, how long Bill's on the talk show tonight, I don't know. This is a difficult week because the players are still in class. The players are still in class. Let's go to Brian and Shimokan. Hi, Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hey,
welcome.
Steve. Hey, nice Steve. Hey, Steve. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Brian, how are you today?
Okay, I had a tough game last week, buddy. Yeah, I know, man.
Well, very tough game. But you know what? And, you know, we know that they got the part wrong at the goal line. We know that. But at the same time, there's a lot of things that go into a game besides that moment: the big pass to Reed, the safety, the fumble by Zwinak in the red zone. I mean, there are opportunities. Yeah. You know, so you play out the whole game. There are other missed chances.
Yeah, I know, and then, you know, so much the defense can do all the time, and then, you know, and then they get too tired, and that's the whole story. So, you know. Hey, how's James Terry and Curtis Dukes?
Curtis Dukes is still on the bounce back from the concussion. I talked to Curtis on Friday last week, and he said he was feeling a lot better. James Terry's going to be a game time decision. They're working on that ankle to see how he is. So he's going to be, right now he is in that day to day category.
Okay, and has there been any talk about Duke's leaving because he can't understand the offense?
Well, he's been able to, you know, of course he's been out the last 3 weeks, or since the Purdue game, the last 2 weeks. But he'd been able to grasp the offense. But you have to remember that he started out behind because he didn't have spring practice.
Yeah.
And when you fall behind in trying to learn this offense, and I'm talking like you're three months behind, 4 months behind, it's hard to catch up in that period of time, especially if other people have mastered it. And part of the problem that every running back on this team has is this. Zach Zwinak took over, and
he's
good. And he's good.
Yeah, I know he is. Hey, one more question. You know, I know Belton got in the game, but how come Derek Day hasn't seen anything at running back?
Yeah, Derek Day got hurt, Brian, early in the season. He hurt his shoulder. And when he did, that knocked him out of the rotation. And that's when the window of opportunity is Zwinak opened. And all of a sudden, Zach sees the moment. And that's part of it. And so what Derek Day has been is that right now he'd be the fourth running back. He'd be the third tailback, but the fourth running back, because you and I both know Zordich is flipping back there more often than Belton is right now. And Day is on all the special teams, and he leads his team in special teams tackles right now. So he's still a major contributor. He's just not getting a shot at running back because right now other people have seized the moment.
Yep. Well, the last thing I want to say, it was great to see you at the Temple game. And I didn't say hi to Jack, but I asked you that question, and they did score a rushing touchdown that day.
Yes, they did.
But the deal is, hey, you guys have a great Thanksgiving, and I hope to win the next two games. And I hopefully to be at the Blue-White game again next year.
Well, I can't wait to see you, Brian, and I hope to you and your family you have a great Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah, and I'll say hi to you on Facebook too, and tell Kevin we miss him. So
yeah, we do miss him. In fact, Sarah was just saying the other day that she misses him deeply, and I said, really? I said, yeah. And then she said, they don't drill for oil that deep. Okay, so we do miss him though.
All right, you take care now, buddy.
Thanks, Brian. It's great hearing from you.
Yeah, you too. Bye bye now.
Our number 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You like to jump in. And, Derek Day, this is a case where you look at what Zach Zwinak's done. Now, Zwinak has to do a better job holding on to the ball. Three fumbles is three fumbles too many. You can't have that. And, but straight ahead speed, and I've told everyone here repeatedly, among the running backs, he has the best 40 time in the team. People don't believe that, but look, I see the numbers posted. It's not like I sit there and, hey, I'm guessing. The numbers are posted. I see it. And his straight ahead speed, I mean, you saw on Saturday against Nebraska. He's running, and he's running. Who's catching him? Who caught him? Nobody caught him. And he does. He brings that to the. He brings that to the table. And he is going to be a very good receiver out of the backfield. It's going to be a very good, and he'll be even more important now that Kyle Carter's out for the season. So, and that's a big loss because, what Carter's done. And Carter's been just a big plus. I think, he's the best tight end I've seen in the Big Ten this season. And I don't recall a tight end in this conference that's played better than he has. Now, I haven't seen the Pedersen kid yet for Wisconsin. I will when I watch the tape tonight because I have an Indiana-Wisconsin tape.
and then I'm going to rewatch Wisconsin next week because I'm really going to, when I watch Indiana tonight, I'm really going to watch Indiana. I don't really need to watch much of Wisconsin yet. I'll get to that. But again, with Kyle Carter out for the season, you know, other guys have to step up, and that means Jesse James. That means Gary Gilliam, the very underrated Gary Gilliam. Matt Lehman. And, you can see they make a few adjustments here and there with personnel because guys are out, and they'll have to do that in this case. And as I mentioned earlier, Indiana certainly is an improved football team. Now, the Steelers, getting to the Steelers for a moment, the Ben Roethlisberger injury, they're playing a coy, but we all know he can't play on Sunday. He won't play on Sunday. This is to his throwing shoulder, for goodness sake. So he's not going to play against the Ravens. It's going to be Byron Leftwich. And what I found interesting is that they said that it's an SC sprain, which the C stands for clavicle. So that's where it is. But it's his right shoulder. I mean, they list him as questionable for Sunday. Please, he's not going to play. You know, I mean, this can't. And you look at Byron Leftwich. You know what the biggest problem with Byron Leftwich is, other than the fact he hasn't hardly played of late? Okay? But he takes forever to release the football. I mean, let's face it, when you see that, you're vulnerable to sacks, you're vulnerable to incompletions, your timing's not right. I mean, he has a horrible NFL release. I mean, you look at Roethlisberger, bang, snap, go. Leftwich winds up, you're like, holy mackerel. It says you watch it throw the football. I watched it throw the ball last night. He threw a ball to Mike Wallace, thinking, what the heck is this? Who taught him that? All right, let's go to Don and Shamokin. Hi, Don. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, Steve?
Good, Donnie. What's going on?
The Steelers, I saw Dennis Dixon was cut last week by Baltimore. I was wondering if they gave him a call to bring him in. I thought Charlie Batch was inactive.
I mean, I bring him in. I bring him in. At least he doesn't know Todd Haley's offense, though. Now, remember that. This isn't a case of plugging it back into what Bruce Arians does, okay? So it's not that simple, because if it was still Bruce Arians as the coordinator, re-signing would make sense, and he'd pick up the offense like that. But Todd Haley's offense is completely different, and there would be a learning curve for him.
Yeah, but I thought they were going with the dink and dunk anyway because of Leftwich and Charlie Batch. Now that Charlie Batch is out, I think it might work. And he was in their system, Baltimore, which might help out coming up this weekend.
Oh, I'd sign him. I'm saying, but it's not as simple as like sign him and plug him in. That's my point.
The Ravens re-signed Dixon.
Oh, they re-signed. They
today,
re-signed.
Yeah.
And they did that to take that away. See, it's a clever organization.
How convenient, yeah. All right, just wondering.
I'll tell you right now, I would tell you right now, Don, 3 weeks from now, he's unemployed.
Probably. After the next two games with him, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Welcome to the pros.
How about it? Anybody else out there available that, you know,
no,
offhand?
There really isn't. This is not an easy thing because there are not a lot of guys out there and available right now. I mean, Vinny Testaverde's 60 now. I'm just kidding. You know what? They can get Tebow.
Yeah, there you go. I just razzed my brother on Sunday, too, about the all the Eagles quarterbacks being down. I said, who are they going to get the hand if Folk goes down? So, I don't know. He'll give it right back to me now, I guess.
Yeah, he'll give it back to you now. You know, the odd thing is, Don, the first 9 weeks of the season, there are 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Only three have missed any time this year. Arizona, Miami, and Tennessee were the only three franchises that had to change quarterbacks up. It's been a remarkable year injury-wise for quarterbacks. Then you get Michael Vick, concussion, Eagles. Jay Cutler, Bears, concussion. Alex Smith, mild concussion with the Niners. They think he might be able to play against the Bears. And then you get the Roethlisberger shoulder injury all in a weekend.
Yeah. I think the Steelers are getting a little thin, too, with all these people dropping all of a sudden. It's just going to catch up to them eventually here.
Well, it could catch up to them over the next 3 weeks. This is a rough stretch for them. And you're right, they have so many injuries right now. This is going to be very tough for them to overcome. They're really going to have to button down the package to really be efficient in what they're doing. They have to rely a lot more on the running game. And probably, I mean, you know, when Leftwich was in there, they're throwing the ball downfield last night. I thought, I don't think so. But he takes too long, Don, to get rid of the ball.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I was on my way back from Portland, Maine last night, and I was listening to it on the radio, but it didn't sound good at all.
Well, no, I mean, Justin Verlander has a shorter windup.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah, he's no spring chicken anymore either. So.
No, he's not. But he's at least he knows the speed of the game. That's the one thing he does have going for him. He knows the speed of the game.
Yeah, and now he got a few hits on him. Maybe it'll help a little bit.
Yeah, plus being now he'll be the number one quarterback in practice all week, which means he will get 90% of the reps. He was not. He was getting 10% of the reps before. I think by getting 90% of the reps, it could make a world of difference for him.
Well, who's the emergency quarterback offhand? Do you know?
I don't know who their emergency quarterback's going to be. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. Because Batch was inactive last night.
Yeah, Billy Hillgrove was saying last week. He's Miller or Emmanuel Sanders. They're both quarterbacks in high school.
Yeah, well, that's not going to work. I can tell you that right now.
Maybe hand it off. That's about it.
That's about it. They have problems. They have problems, and this injury is. Look.
Yeah, they could use Randall Well right now too.
Sure, they could. And for I'll tell you right now, for Roethlisberger to be out, you can say definitively, he really has to be hurt.
Oh yeah, he plays in a lot of pain here, and for him to just walk out like that, it's got to be very painful.
He has to be legitimately injured for him not to play. That's just his nature. That's what he is.
Yeah, he is. I know that. And it's sorry time for it to happen too. Just when they're on a roller, but what are you going to do? Right. Injuries happen.
Yeah, injuries happen. Unfortunately, it happened to the single most important guy in that football team, and he is the single most important guy on that football team. Without a doubt, he is the single most important guy on that team. But Charlie Batch would be the guy that you got to look at as being your emergency guy. So,
yeah, 2 years ago, he did a good job when he had to that first four games there and held his own.
Yeah, he did, but he'd have to be the emergency guy again. And again, same thing, veteran, been around the block, knows the speed of the game, but he is not a long-term solution.
All right. Hey, nice talking to you, Steve. I'm going to lose you here. I'm coming down in the Dornsife, so.
Okay, sounds good, buddy. Have a great one.
All right, see you later.
We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WK. That's Sarah Bartlett on guitar in the background there.
I'm multi-talented.
It's no surprise whatsoever to this veteran campaigner. All right. So the Steelers quarterback situation is Byron Leftwich, Charlie Batch, and the newly signed Kevin Herr. I know many of you found that to be stunning. So did I. There'll be a press conference at Shamokin tomorrow. Now they have the Ravens. This will be a great game this week, but boy, have the dynamics of that thing change in one fell swoop. It's amazing how quickly the dynamics in that game changed with one hit.
Yep, it's going to be like two different teams.
absolutely. And you, Ben Roethlisberger, they can list him as questionable all they want. I can tell you right now, when he's walking out there with wearing a golf shirt, that's when you'll know he's out. And that's, I'd be shocked unless they brought in water from Lourdes that he's playing in this game. Poor Kevin. I mean, basically, his text to me was feels like he has nothing to live for.
He just walks around the station, like, shoulders slumped.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of funny in some ways. All right, well, what a shame. But, you know, here's why I wish Roethlisberger could play in the game. I want to see the best against the best. What do you have? Of course, you, the Raven fan, you're sitting there right now saying, all right, good. Don't you want to find out how good you are?
Yeah, I'd like Ray Lewis back.
I'm sure you would. All right, back at you tomorrow on News Radio 1070 WKOK.